Okay, here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for August 29th, 2023. I'm your host, Joe McElvain, coming at you from a telephone. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice who are listening to the recording later, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
I'm Red Davis.
And you're in Boyko.
All right, let's begin with the pull requests in the Pony C repo, beginning with 4410, a closed PR. That probably doesn't need discussion.
I don't even see that. I don't see that in the list. I think you're looking at a wrong list, maybe.
I'm looking at the old list, apparently. Yeah, that was from last week. 4417, fix failing CI tests that were run in LLDB 14, not reporting failures.
Yeah, this works. This is actually only for the runner ones. LLDB 14, the whole thing that we have for all of the on crash stuff, which is part of how we run things in it, LLVM 14, LLDB 14 and 15, that's broken. So that explains, remember why I couldn't replicate 4369 in CI, Joe, for the 22? This
so
is why.
It's because LLDB is not letting the crash happen.
Well, no, the crash happens, but as part of the batch scripting, we have commands of what to do if there's a crash. And in 14, 15, but not 17, if the crash happens in something other than the main thread, it doesn't run the scripts.
Okay.
It's a bug in LLDB. And this handles it for the runner, and I'm going to open another PR tonight, which will update all of our 14 images to have just our Ubuntu 22 images to have just LLDB 17 in them. So that should take care of the rest as well. But this one is a little fix where if it fails and we're running with LLDB, it should cover additional cases to make sure that we actually fail when it failed.
And there's never a stop reason equals that would give like a healthy stop reason, like stop reason equals died a natural death of causes of old age.
Well, we passed everything. If you'll note on the PR, I said there are two things that we should check for. One, which is I did on another branch, which is to make sure that it did cause the force 4369 branch to fail, and it did, and that everything passed here so that there are no, it wasn't causing things which are already good to fail.
That's true. I've marked it as approved.
I'm going to merge it.
And we're looking at 4416, turn off the last of Cirrus CI. Cirrus CI, goodbye.
Yep, I think I searched their repo for every mention of Cirrus CI and did the updates that looks like we'd need for everything.
Looks good.
I will merge that too.
4415, macOS stress tests. We turn off Cirrus CI, we'll lose macOS stress tests. This commit adds stress tests for macOS on x86 using GitHub Actions so that we won't lose them in implication. Libscache stress test. The matrix target is what determines the stress test we're running. Yeah, test stress release. Okay. Okay.
I temporarily, if you look at the history of this branch, I popped all of those into the PR one as well to make sure that they all ran to completion and then pulled them back out of the PR one. So there we go. Merged.
Add support for building libponyc standalone.a on FreeBSD.
This is 4414. I asked for a couple small changes, but I think otherwise it looks good. It's basically he added a if FreeSB to our Linux OS X or Windows tests, but at this point there's only two things that would be in a not as compared to four in the positive case of FreeBSD, Linux, OS X, or Windows. So I'd like to see it as not OpenBSD and not Dragonfly. I don't know how you feel about that, Joe, or if you prefer four positive ORs as compared to two negatives.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because if we add more platforms, I guess this is the question that it points to for me is if we add more platforms, does supporting PonyC standalone is that the exception or the norm?
It's our ideal norm.
Yeah, so in that case, I think the not like the
yeah, not the, covers that as well, so that people would get an error, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yep, that makes sense. I'll add a note to that.
Okay. And 4407 pull request. Update supported Alpine version to 3.17 or later. That's when the libexec info stopped and the functionality was moved into Mosul directly, meaning that if we try to link against libexec info, we won't find it, but we do have the functions we need. So yeah, as we discussed in the previous week, it's too much hassle to support old versions of Alpine, and people who are using Alpine should be using pretty much the latest version that they can, which should usually, yeah, I don't think it makes sense to support older versions. As you said, there's an end of life for 3.16 in about 9 months, which again speaks to people shouldn't be using older versions of Alpine. Yep. I already, yeah, mentioned I agree on that in the comments. The code changes updates are when you updated these CI Docker files, did you also push the updated ones?
Yep.
You did. And they have the new tags there. Okay.
Yep.
Those are the new tags. Release notes added. I'm curious, you added directly into the next release MD because you had two release notes things? Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense. Yep.
To go along with the, it's actually technically, it's because we had two entries for the change log. So we don't want to do a change log tag. And if we don't have a change log tag, it will ignore any release note stuff, right? So that they don't get out of sync. So put it directly into next release. And I put them at the top of the file where that shouldn't cause merge conflicts with anything else before this gets merged.
Sounds good. And it should be able to be merged.
Nope.
Now.
Nope.
That's I'm why not merging not it. Merge. It says do not merge. Yeah.
Yes. This is going to cause some fun with other images which are based off of these. So I will do this at a point in time, like probably tomorrow, when I have time to work through all of the ramifications of this and update of some other images.
Okay. And we have pull requests. Sorry about that. Yeah, that makes sense. We have pull request 4405, fix hang and pony check when using async properties and actions. So the latest update says, after investigating 4391, I was not able to find a logical flaw in the property runner or in the way the unit test timeout is being used by pony check. After looking at the logs, the best explanation is for the spurious failures, the timeout of 1 minute per property by default was just too low for the specific QMU.
No, that's the old one. I don't know why
the old update. Left.
That's his original one. Update is the stuff after assuming it was a timeout issue. That is slow execution, did not finish in 60 seconds. It turned out to be a logical flaw in how the property runner handles expecting completing actions. Yeah.
Okay. So the update went before. I see the slash update. Okay. Yeah. Got it. So it was a logical flaw. It was possible to have stray actors from old property runs call into the property runner instance that was already dealing with another run, thus disturbing the current run. I'm guessing by disturbing, it means marking things as complete. When it was using completions from a previous run to falsely complete things in the current run, and leave the other ones dangling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This looks good to me, except for the, I had the questions from Matthias of if we still, he left the timeout changes. So I don't know if we still need those based on his comments. And having him draft a commit message that we could use when this gets squashed.
Yeah, I think, I mean, assuming this fixes the problem and it completes reliably on QMU, I would say it would be better not to have the timeout changes included. Because 1 minute to 5 minutes is a rather big change, especially when there's multiple tests that act that way.
The assumption being is that we should never go over that 1 minute anyway to the five, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's now tracking state in this dot current round. Okay. Approved from my side. Although, yeah, as you say, you want to have the timeouts removed.
Assuming they aren't needed. Yeah. And because in one way or another, because I'm not sure, I don't know what to squash have for the commit message to squash for this based on all of that. So I'd like to get him to update that as well. Let's skip 4401 for now. And conversation around that. And let's get through some of the others and then we can come back to discussions around all things 4369 related, issue 4369.
Okay. So issue 4413, Windows TCP tests are very flaky. We moved from CRCI to GitHub Actions. We started to have lots of issues with Windows TCP tests. As a result, they're currently excluded from running. Things we saw. Until I switched on the TCP test to start running on their own port, starting at 60,000, the test binary would regularly hang. Once the above issue was addressed, the TCP tests I would time out constantly with which odd results for what hadn't completed. We had no such problems in CirrusCI. We need to investigate this and get the test turned back on. Volunteers are greatly encouraged.
Yep. It's effing weird. That's my scientific diagnosis after spending many hours on this.
Okay. Anybody have insights or thoughts to add to this?
I definitely saw one of the things I did see is before I moved the ports to 60,000, I actually was at the correct point in tests every now and then where something that wasn't our code connected to a port. So they have things in that environment which are connecting to ports on the Windows machines, which is weird.
Can we bind the test of impact?
What was that?
We bind the test of impact.
No, we our default is to do it where we do not indicate a interface and go ahead and do it. I tried at one point binding them to loop back and still saw the weird failures. I also tried running it without Windows Defender on, or at least in theory without Windows Defender on, and still saw problems. I don't know what it is. And our timeline for getting it, the other stuff merged, is the end of the month. Gordon approved it yesterday, and we merged the move of the Windows stuff to off of Cirrus CI yesterday and opened this issue.
Yeah, okay. Bad. So moving on to 4412, only see seg faults when trying to match using a single element tuple form. Posted 2 days ago. Pony C seg faults when trying to use that, when trying to destructure single element tuple form. As expected, it works when you don't use tuple syntax in the match and with multi-element tuples. I understand that using a single element tuple is strange since it's effectively the same as a standalone value. Still, in my use case, I had some code like a type union of basically tuples of different lengths, where I wanted to support a few tuple sizes of convenience for convenience in serialization code. The compiler does not treat just a single type in parentheses or a single value in parentheses as being a tuple. It treats it as being just in parentheses.
Yeah, because that starts to get really hairy if we do try to. I'm not in favor of the one tuple thing and trying to support it. Is it just that's?
Yeah, I think we would need to have a special syntax for tuples, which we don't currently have, in order to distinguish them from parentheses being used to group expressions, which Pony is very much in favor of using parentheses to group expressions, so much so that like common operator precedence is issued in favor of forcing that kind of grouping. So it seems very problematic to allow single element tuples, but to not crash the compiler is a nice thing.
Yeah,
but something I'm, unexpected.
Yep, I'm typing that up right now and saying that one tuple type change is a big change, not one that we're interested in taking on, but an RFC could be open for it to discuss in more depth, and minds could be changed. Sound reasonable?
Yep, that's reasonable for that part. Because parentheses my type doesn't generate a one tuple as might be expected, it may be worth having the compiler emit an error or warning if parentheses my type syntax is used when defining a type and the extra parens are not required, like when defining a union. This could help to avoid confusion. I didn't think about the syntax not generating a tuple until I ran into other syntax errors like couldn't find underscore one. I assume this case can be detected unambiguously, but I could totally be wrong here, so please forgive my ignorance. Could it be unambiguous is the question.
I'm doubtful.
Yeah.
I don't want to say no without looking at it, but I'm like 99% no, right?
Yeah. So if it was an intersection, like you might plausibly want to use parentheses to group the terms of an intersection when it's part of some larger type expression. Like you have a union of intersections, for example. And you very much don't want that to register as a single element too. So adding single element tuples would be, I'm trying to think what that would even look like, right? One way to say what that looks like is, well, there's the tuple destructuring syntax, and then there's the underscore number syntax used for accessing individual elements one by one.
Keep going.
I'm just like thinking through, like, I think in sort of in theory, a single element tuple, like, it just like put yourself in the pure world of type theory for a moment. Is a single element tuple distinguishable in the pure world of type theory from just the element? Perhaps not, is my thought.
I think this should go to RFC if you want to pursue it further. Is a good endpoint for now for the
yes
for that, right? And we could move on to other things.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. As far as so needs RFC for the thing, but yeah, you said running with the debug version can get a backtrace. That would be a good first step. Sounds good. Get back out of thought experiment land and back into the next ticket, which is 4391. I believe this is one we already talked about.
Yep, because we have the PR for it. So yeah.
Yep.
And I took the discuss during sync.
And we're skipping 4369 for now. And we're looking at next ponylang/changelog-bot-action that is. Start pushing Docker images to GCR instead of Docker Hub. We talked about that. So log into Docker Hub, log into GCR. Tag for GCR or GHCR, I guess. Approved. Sense. Same thing in Corral.
That's
same idea in Corral.
2440. That's PR 2443.
Or 243. This one is changing the CI script to once for, yeah, so that is HCR, the same thing. GitHub repository. Fence. Approved. ponylang/net SSL. Pull request 89.
I
adding some X509 draft. Okay.
I pulled the tag off of that. Unless, is there anything you wanted to go over? Oh, Red's gone. There we go. Never mind. Yeah, Red's gone. He's working on getting his X509 cert stuff in. From the errors, it looks like right now he built it so that it worked with one SSL library version, and he's got to get it working with all the other API ones.
Okay.
As well as any, you know, additional stuff that once he gets that working, we have for design related concerns, which we discussed some at office hours on Friday.
Okay. Looking now at the Pony Up repo pull request to 60. This is again GitHub container registry, GHCR. Very similar pull request here. Approved. And in the release bot action repo, we have pull request 61, which is adding support for ghcr.io. Use a registry at the Docket Hub, add the registry to the registry environment variable. Makes sense. It changes the script to if it has the registry environment variable. Okay. And there's only a limited number of supported registries.
Yep.
Okay.
You have three options. You can do nothing, which will default to docker.io. Yep. You can do docker.io, in which case it will leave it out with just the implicit one, or you can do ghcr.io and it will fill it out appropriately.
Yep, makes sense. Yep, I was just thinking through whether, because I noticed this is using environment variables rather than like action inputs per se.
Yes, because we have all the different commands and they would take different values. Right.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Okay. Yeah, because I was just thinking about like if the inputs were strongly typed or at least lintable, right? With the, but we don't actually want that. That's a misfeature in this case because, or not misfeature, but and, it's an undesired feature at this point.
Yep. And I tested multiple different variations of the things that go into this in the action testing repo this morning, and they worked.
Cool. Approved. And we are now a little bit more than halfway through. Does anybody have discussion points they want to raise related to Pony that we can talk about together here while we're here? Other than the 4369, which we'll do by default if no one else has anything they want to talk about. All right, well, speak up later if you need to, but next up we'll talk about Pony C issue ticket 4369, which we had been talking about as that Sean and I believe, or at least last time I spoke to Sean, we both believe this is an LLVM bug of some kind by going down code paths that they have not tested as much as they perhaps should or could. And we might be able to avoid some of them by going down the more beaten path. That's kind of where we're at right now, at least as far as I know. Sean, do you want to take us through latest?
Because I still felt uncomfortable with some points, I continued looking into things, one of which was the why can't we get this to fail in the CI for Ubuntu, right?
Which you figured out.
Which we figured out. Hey, and found a potential source of other problems, which would have been really bad because that would have always passed those tests no matter what for anything. So that's good. I found another thing which was interesting, Joe, which was I have two bits of assembly which are exactly the same, right? The assembly that we thought was bad, right? And if I link it with a release version of the runtime, there's no seg fault. And if I release it with a, if I link it with a debug version of the runtime, there is a seg fault. And in that case, changing the optimization level that we use when building the runtime from zero to anything else fixes the problem, which lines up with some of the other stuff we've been seeing about changing any of the optimization levels except for the that last one on the LLVM itself, right? Where we discovered this one that went from 0 to 1 inadvertently during the LLVM 15 upgrade.
Yep.
So that's some interesting bit of stuff. Also on the actual 4369, you'll see a thing that I found when I was looking at the the LLDB issue this morning. I tried running it under GDB to see what would happen. And besides the fact that the GDB stuff doesn't seem to be working in the way that we were expecting, you'll note in there is a dwarf error where it says it cannot find the dwarf info at blah, blah, blah memory location. Now, that could be because there's a seg fault and stuff got overwritten. I don't really know at all. This is something somebody could look into. I do know that when using dwarf dump verify on both the binary itself and the debug runtime, it finds no errors. But we could possibly, I suppose, be having something that happens with some sort of memory corruption, which is screwing up, which is showing up with the GDB not being able to find that. Or this could be a regular thing that happens with GDB for however we're doing stuff. I don't really know, but I wanted to note it. And the final thing, which was confusing the hell out of me, was that at the point in time when we switched from Cirrus to GitHub Actions, on Cirrus, this happened with both the debug and release runtimes, right? So this meant that any of the Pony Cs that you were downloading, which had been built on Cirrus since the LLVM 15, all of the nightlies had this crash when you did release --debug. And that was not the case with ones that I was building on my local machine, nor was it the case with ones starting on August 9th, which also happened to be the date that we started building in GitHub. I trace this down to at least using the Clang version that we use when building on Ubuntu 22, right? Which is Clang 14, the problem goes away with a commit which happened during the transition from Cirrus to GitHub Actions, and it is not related to switching to GitHub Actions from Cirrus. It is related to a commit that happened in between. I see no reason why that would be. That's the page map commit, you remember, of Dippin's that we merged. Mm-hmm. Right? Moving where the page map info is. So at that point, it doesn't happen with Clang 14. It doesn't happen with the release runtime. It only happens with the bug one. Nick, who reported the issue, can still see it happening after that commit with Clang 16, but not with after some other later commits as well, but we don't know which particular one, where with Clang 16, it starts to only happen with the debug runtime. All of this very well could have absolutely nothing to do with those commits, other than the fact that they changed the shape of debug info, right? In some fashion, which no longer triggers whatever our weirdness is. Did that all make sense?
No.
Well, I mean,
I understood what you said. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we still, but I feel like at this point I eliminated all of the truly, oh my God, that makes absolutely no sense. What the fuck is going on? And we're just back at this is completely bizarre, and it looks like we have something weird related to optimization of debug info, which is causing a seg fault, probably with related to how debug info is generated around how we do exceptions, right? That's what all of these look like. And I think we're back to that. And I have no reason to say it's not an LLVM bug, right? All of the things we're seeing looks LLVM-y. But I'm not positive, and I'm going to keep looking into it. And if you're available on Friday, I would like to spend some more time going over a few other things before we say, okay, this is an LLVM thing, which is going to take more time than we want to put into it, and we know of a fix, because we do know of what we believe is a fix, even though it's not addressing what we would believe an underlying LLVM issue would be directly.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yep.
Agreed.
Because the particular bits I have to go over, which are going deeper into some of the things that I just mentioned, will certainly, I think, take at least half an hour to go over. But yes.
Okay.
Basically, I want to have a repeat with the additional knowledge we got, because I still felt just a tad uncomfortable after our thing last Friday, where we're like, well, we feel pretty good saying it's this, but I had those niggling feelings, and particularly related to the why can't I get this to fail in Ubuntu 22, right? Nothing that we're saying makes a lot of sense if I can't get it to fail in Ubuntu 22. That was the real problem for me. And so, yeah, learned a bunch more. Let's go over it again on Friday and see if we still feel comfortable with our general feelings from last Friday, where nothing that I found negates what we said last Friday, I think, but we should go over it again.
Sounds good. Can do. Any other topics for us to discuss while we're here together?
I don't think so. There will be a lot of release fun coming in the next couple days, where many things need to be released to start all of the fun that we've done and get the fixes out and everything.
Okay. Well, thanks. In that case, thanks everyone for attending, and for those listening along to the recording later.
Oh,
we'll see you next week.
Yep. I'm going to end the recording. Yep. Thanks, everyone. Don't jump.